This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, May 21st, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. EU charts path ahead for U.S. trade deal. Massey loss has candidates' attention, and Ricketts introduces a trade bill. The European Council and the Parliament have hashed out an agreement on the path forward for a U.S.-European Union trade pact agreed to last year. The EU has still not ratified the deal despite pressure from President Donald Trump and senior officials to begin implementing the provisions. Early Wednesday, after several hours of discussions, the two bodies agreed to move the deal forward with several additional measures approved by the Parliament. A statement from the Council says the EU can suspend parts of the deal if U.S. tariffs on European metals go above 15% and if increased exports are injuring EU industries. Both parties also agreed to keep the sunset clause proposed by the Parliament, which would scrap the deal at the end of the Trump presidency, unless the EU takes further action. U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer has previously criticized the additional safeguard and sunset mechanisms, arguing the U.S. did not agree to any such measures in the Turnberry negotiations. In a social media post yesterday, Greer's office said it, quote, will continue to review certain limiting amendments, but welcome the progress the EU has made toward implementation. Representative Thomas Massey's primary loss in Kentucky has Republicans, Democrats, and Independents calibrating their political assumptions as the midterm campaign season moves into high gear. Massey's loss to fellow Republican Ed Gallarin, a former Navy SEAL, marks the second time in 4 days the GOP candidate backed by President Trump beat an incumbent to advance to November. He's now helped topple two GOP incumbents, Massey and Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy, and his refusal to endorse a third, Texas Representative Dan Crenshaw, likely contributed to his defeat as well. That according to the nonpartisan Inside Elections with Nathan L. Gonzalez. For the president's backers, Trump's wins serve as a rebuke to questions about whether an unpopular war, high gas prices, and a lack of transparency surrounding the Epstein files has weakened his ironclad grip on his base, a nonpartisan Cook Political Report publisher, Amy Walter, said. It's a convenient narrative for Trump, but one that oversimplifies his party's difficult path in November. GOP pollster Kristen Soltis Anderson wrote in the New York Times earlier this month that the biggest hurdle for Republicans trying to keep control of Congress are the normies, those voters who are neither full MAGA nor never Trumpers. If some of these normies stay home in November and independent voters continue to give the president dismal marks, even a robust turnout from the president's most committed supporters won't be enough to save vulnerable Republicans, Walter said in an online post. Senator Pete Ricketts of Nebraska has introduced legislation to reduce U.S. reliance on China as an export market and identify potential economic vulnerabilities. The Moving Away from Risk to Key Export Markets, or MARKET Act, would require USDA and USTR to assess market access for 9 key commodities in adversaries' markets and the potential disruption from a trade dispute. It would also direct USDA to make recommendations for mitigating potential threats and reducing trade barriers in alternative markets. Communist China, at the end of the day, is a bad trading partner, Ricketts said in his comments on the Senate floor this week. Accordingly, he said he wants officials to, quote, look at ways that we can mitigate our dependence on Communist China and look for new markets. The American Soybean Association is backing the bill, that according to a statement from Ricketts' office. China's retaliation against U.S. agriculture exports cost producers some $15 billion in lost sales. A new analysis from North Dakota State University published Wednesday argues soybeans, beef, and cotton bore the brunt of the measures, the report notes. You can read more on this story at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top quality legal services that achieve cost effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. A bipartisan group of more than 100 lawmakers is calling on the Trump administration to launch a probe into unfair trade practices from sugar producing countries. In a letter to U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer, first shared with AgriPulse, 109 lawmakers led by Senators John Hovind of North Dakota and Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan, as well Representatives Julie Fedorchuk and Troy Carter, argue that imports and foreign subsidized sugar are threatening U.S. producers. We write to strongly urge you to utilize Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 to investigate unfair and discriminatory trade practices by foreign sugar-producing countries. The letter reads, urging Greer to, quote, protect American sugar beet and sugarcane farmers, processors, refiners, and factory workers. More than two dozen industry groups are endorsing the letter, including the American Sugar Alliance, the American Farm Bureau Federation, National Farmers Union, and the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, according to a statement from Hovind's office. House appropriators have proposed a U.S. Wildland Fire Service inside of the Interior Department as a part of a proposed fiscal year 2027 appropriations bill released yesterday. The bill would provide $1.54 billion for the new service, which would unify the agency's firefighting activities. Separately, the bill also provides $8.79 billion to the U.S. Forest Service for wildland fire management. The bill would also require Interior to delist gray wolves and greater Yellowstone grizzly bears under the Endangered Species Act. It would also bar agency funding from being used to implement listings of the greater sage grouse, the lesser prairie chicken, and the wolverine. Texas grocery stores owned by Albertsons Safeway LLC will stop misting produce with a synthetic pesticide called Produce Max to extend their shelf life under an agreement with the Texas Attorney General's office. Under the agreement, Albertsons denies any wrongdoing but will voluntarily cease using the pesticide in its Texas stores within 90 days. The agreement comes after an investigation by the AG's office into concerns over grocery stores spraying USDA-certified organic produce without consumers' knowledge. The Iowa Renewable Fuels Association is urging regulators in Iowa to set a hearing date for Summit Carbon Solutions' long-delayed project to capture and store carbon emissions from ethanol plants. Summit requested a permit with the Iowa Utilities Commission 6 months ago, IRFA noted yesterday in a filing with the IUC. The biofuels trade group said Iowa is at risk of falling behind nearby states economically due to the lack of progress on the carbon pipeline proposal. For 25 years, Iowa has benefited greatly from being the most profitable place in the world to convert corn to ethanol. IRFA's filing says that no longer is the case because a carbon capture project in Nebraska began operations last fall. There is not a question on the economic benefits. Carbon capture and sequestration is happening, and it's happening right here in the Midwest. The only question is whether Iowa will be left behind for months or forever. The American Farm Bureau Federation is adding Virginia Houston as a senior director of government affairs. where she will lead the organization's work on agricultural trade and tax policy, that according to AFBF. Houston succeeds Dave Salmonson, who retired at the end of March after nearly 30 years at Farm Bureau. Here's today's final word. I want to clear that up. We're not selling the Chinese steaks and hamburgers. We're selling them offal. You know what offal is? Well, that's the stuff Americans don't eat. So it's not going to have any impact on the beef prices here in America. That's the word of White House Senior Counsel for Trade and Manufacturing Peter Navarro, speaking on Newsmax about China's renewal of more than 400 beef export facility registrations. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, May 21st, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.